The hardest thing for God to get sometimes is your attention.
Your attention. Your attention.
Look back over your life. Every now and then, something started burning and would not be consumed.
My God.
And God used it to get your attention. Whenever injustice goes on long enough, after a while, God will have to do something to get your attention, to make you appreciate people that you look down on. Repentance does not mean tears. It does not mean crying. It has nothing to do with emotion. It means changing behavior. We got to look at ourselves. We got to look at our stuff. We got to look at the way we fellowship and the way we get quiet when other people are dying. The fire has come to burn out all your excuses. This is our burning bush. I'm talking about burning bushes. And Moses turned aside to see. And what amazed me, even though I've read it many, many times and preached on it many times before, is the conversation that ensued. God told Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. It was holy because God was there. That's the only thing that makes a place holy is because God is there. Your living room could be holy if God is there. You could be in the shower, it could be holy if God gets in there. You could be in your car, if God gets in the car, it could be holy because God is there. It's not holy because it's got pews and stained glass windows and crosses and pictures of somebody's idea of Jesus on the wall. That's not what makes it holy. It's holy because God is there. Take off your shoe, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. God's gonna make holy ground in your house, holy ground in your living room, holy ground in your apartment, holy ground in your car, holy ground on your break, on your job. God says, wherever I am, holy ground. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the first time that God says that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has never referred to himself as being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob until Moses. He does not even tell Jacob that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, he told Jacob that his name was not Jacob, that his name was Israel. But God does not say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, I'm not just the God of the best in you. Yeah. See, Jacob was not the good part of Israel. Jacob was the trickster, the con artist, the supplanter, the racketeer. He was like his family, Rebekah and Laban, all of them. Jacob was the part that wrestled with God. Yeah. And Israel was who he was destined to be. And God said, your name is really Israel, and you're a prince, and you have power with God. But every prince has got a Jacob. So all of a sudden, when God gets ready to identify himself, the God who told Jacob that your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being the God of Jacob. Thank you for being the God of the worst part of me. Thank you that I don't have to hide my Jacob. Thank you that you love my Jacob. See, I know you want to argue with that, but God, who commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The theology is absolutely right. God does not love you because you are holy and because you read your Bible and because you go to church all the time and you fast on Thursdays and you only eat collard greens on Wednesdays. God does not love you because you sing in the choir and you work on the usher board. God loved you when you were lying and cheating and stealing and whoring and hanging off a pole and doing striptease in a cheap hotel room. God loved you when you were shooting dope up your arm and laying in gutters and alleyways and burn the hair out of your nose. God still loved you when you were high, and God loved you when you were locked up in jail, and God loved you when you were in your perversions and your filth and your muck and your mire. God loved you in the decadence of your life. God didn't wait till things got better to love you. He loved you in your mess. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and take off your shoes. Take off your shoes, because the ground you stand on is holy ground. You ain't holy. You ain't holy, but the ground is holier than you. The ground you stand on is holy ground. That's how God started his conversation off with Moses. And they start entering in the conversation, a God and a man in a desert alone. Can you imagine a God, a man in a desert alone? And there he is having a conversation with Moses to help Moses understand who he is. And God begins to tell Moses what all he's going to do with him. Now you must understand that Moses is a murderer. He's a convict. He's on the run. He's an outlaw. He's hiding on the backside of the desert. And God found him. You can't go nowhere where God cannot find you. If you make your bed in hell, he is there. If you ascend to the uttermost parts of the earth, he is there. I don't care if you're locked up in the bottom of a jail cell, God is there. They can put you in the inner sanctum of a prison, God is there. They can fly you off to the mountain peaks, and God is there. You can be an astronaut and fly away out of the earth's orbit, but God is up there too, and he will find you and flush you out. And God found Moses on the backside of the desert and said, they call you a convict and an outlaw, but I have a plan for your life. And he tells him, I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So don't run off, you convict. You fleshly prophet who tries to enact God's will in your own way and ends up an outlaw on the run because you thought you could do it without me. I am the God of your mistakes, not just your miracles. I am the God of your mess, not just your message. Take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. And then a conversation ensues where God allows the man who is practicing leadership, now he starts practicing miracles. And God takes his rod, something that is very ordinary, and does extraordinary things in it to let Moses know that you don't have to be an extraordinary man to do extraordinary things. If you're watching this broadcast, you want to write that down. You don't have to be an extraordinary man to do extraordinary things because you have an extraordinary God. So God does all these extraordinary things with Moses' rod to let him know that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he wants him to understand that I can use something natural and do something supernatural, that I can use something ordinary and do something extraordinary, that I can use your frailty and your flaws. And Moses is having trouble understanding that. He performs the miracles. He thrust his hand into his bosom and it comes out white as snow. No, he thrust it in again and it's cleansed. He turns out the water and it turns into blood. He throws out his stick and it turns into a serpent. He picks it up by the tail and it turns back into a staff again. And all of a sudden, Moses starts walking with the rod, what he calls the rod of the Lord. It was really Moses' rod, but it was the Lord's rod, but it was Moses' rod, but it was the Lord's rod, but it was Moses' rod. And they shared this rod. God will put something in your hand and it'll be yours, but it's his. And it's his, but it's in your hands. God will make you steward over something that's going to be absolutely amazing. I don't know who this is for, but God's going to put the ability to make great wealth in your hands. It's going to come from a natural place, but it's going to blow your mind. In fact, it's already started to happen. You thought it was a stick, but it's turning into something else. Hallelujah. I see God putting it into your hands. I see God putting blessings into your hands. I see God putting prosperity into your hands. I see God opening doors into your hand. I see God making ways into your hand, and you're standing there feeling unworthy, and you're right, you're not worthy, but he's worthy. And it's your rod, but it's his rod, but it's your rod, but it's his rod, it's his rod, but it's your rod. And God is going to put it in your hand, in your hand, in your hand. It's in your hand, it's in your hand, and it's in your hand. And then if that should have been enough to know I can do this, that God will do extraordinary things out of ordinary things, that God will do supernatural things out of natural things, that God can use me in spite of the fact that I'm a criminal and an outlaw. God can still use me. But because the root of insecurity was so deep, Moses is still talking to God. They talked a long time. God and Moses talked a long time. They talked so long that God told Moses what to say when he went down and tell Pharaoh this and tell Pharaoh that. And when he told Moses what to say, then Moses came up with another excuse. He said, I can't go down there and talk because I stutter. Like God didn't know he stuttered. And did not. And then God said, did not I make your mouth? Listen at God and man talking in a desert. God and man talking through a burning bush. God and man talking through coronavirus. God and man talking to you while you're shut in. God and man trying to get your attention. Now that I got your attention, I'm going to show you how I can use your stutter for my glory. Now that I got your attention, I can show you that I got a supernatural plan for a natural man's life. Now that I got your attention, I want you to start thinking extraordinary thoughts. You thought enough ordinary stuff. You practice with the ordinary long enough. I'm getting ready to do something extraordinary in your life. And he's standing in front of the bush, and the bush is burning. And as it's burning, it's burning out his fear. And it's burning out his doubt. And it's burning out his uncertainty. And it's burning out his shame. And it's burning out his insecurity. And what we need is for the fire to burn out all your excuses. All of your excuses that you make as to why you can't do or be or say what God told you to do and be and say. The fire has come to burn out all of your excuses. This is our burning bush, America. America, this is our burning bush. I know it's affecting other countries and other places, but you got to worry about you right now. America, this is our burning bush. Our racism and elitism and politicism has gone as far as it can go. This is our burning bush. God is after our attention. The message I'm sharing with you today is a very valuable message called After the Fire Goes Out. Let me tell you one thing. There are some things that God expects you to do after that he's spoken to you. It's not enough that you see him appear in the burning bush. What are you going to do after you've had that cataclysmic experience with the power of God? How are you going to act on the word? It is not enough to hear it. You must be doers of the word. I want to take a moment and challenge you to sow into the kingdom of God. We've got more spectators than we do participators. I want to challenge you not just to behold the word, not just to see the burning bush, but to act on the word of God in your life. Connecting your life to what you just heard is vitally important. Otherwise, you might as well watch a movie. I challenge you to allow this word to affect your behavior, your giving, your living, your sowing in the name of Jesus. And God will bring you out every time. I believe it. The question is, do you? And the whole bush was on fire. And Moses started confessing his limitations. I'm flawed. Lord, I'm flawed. I want to do it, but I'm flawed. I want to do it, but I'm scared. And I want to do it because last time I did it, I messed up. And I don't want to do that no more because last time I tried to help, I messed up. There's somebody, you had a bad experience and you stopped living. You had a bad experience, you stopped living. You're going to spend the rest of your life lamenting over the mistake you made? Moses made a mistake, but his life wasn't over. His ministry wasn't over. And God sent a burning bush to say, I still got a plan for your life. There's a preacher watching me right now. You went through a terrible scandal and you feel like your life is over. And I know you're hurting and I know you're in pain, but God is not finished with you yet. God has a plan for your life. And I know you've been embarrassed and I know you've been ashamed, but God loves you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and yes, I am the God of Jacob. Moses, take off your shoes. If I can be the God of Jacob, I can be your God too. If I can be the God of Jacob, I can be the God of a convict. If I can be the God of Jacob, I can be the God of a misfit. If I can be the God of Jacob, I can be the God of the mistakes you made. If I can be the God of Jacob, I can be the God of you. Take off your shoes right now. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Take off your shoes. You're about to have an encounter with God. Take off your shoes. God is about to change your life. Take off your shoes. God is about to get your attention. Take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. The crown you stand on is a holy crown. It's a holy crown. I'm going to answer your questions. And God Almighty sat down and talked to Moses face to face. God Almighty talked to Moses face to face and talked to him about his fears and his insecurities and talked to him about his doubts and his limitations and talked to him about his uncertainty and his depression and talked to him about how he'd given up on life and given up on his purpose and his destiny. God himself sat down and counseled Moses like a psychiatrist. God himself sat down with Moses and reasoned with him like two lawyers in a courtroom. And he said to Moses face to face, Moses said, my mouth stutters. God said, did not I make your mouth? Did not I make your tongue? Don't you know that I know what's wrong with you? And yet I call you to speak. Don't you know that my strength is made perfect in weakness? I call a stuttering man to speak to kings and princes because I knew you would be humble. I knew you wouldn't be arrogant like the rest of them. I knew you wouldn't write no books about what you did because you knew that you stuttered. And you knew that had it not been for me, you wouldn't have been able to do nothing that you did. And I know you would give me the glory. Don't you know that I know you had a baby out of wedlock? Don't you know that I know that you're HIV positive? Don't you know that I know that you've made mistakes? Don't you know that I know who you are? I know your secret. I know your debt. But I still want you. It was not what Moses did when the fire was burning that made him a great man of God. It was what he did when the fire went out. When the fire went out, he took his stuttering self up to Jethro's house and he said, Jethro, I gotta go. I gotta go see about my brethren. He had a sense of purpose. He had a sense of destiny. He still had stammering lips, but he knew who he was and he knew what was going to happen in his life. And he went to Jethro and he said, let me go. I got to go down there and tell Pharaoh. God said, let my people go. And as he turned to go, God said, by the way, all them that were after you are dead. Anybody can be fascinated for a moment. Anybody can be enthralled for a moment. Anybody can be inspired for a moment, but that's not what God is looking for. God is not interested in entertaining you. God didn't do all of this so he could entertain you in a spiritual way, amuse you while you're bored at home. God sat down to have a conversation with you that would change your life after the fire goes out. God sat down to get your attention, to break the strongholds of the habits so that after the fire goes out, you would not be the same man or the same woman you were before. God sent all of this to break through all of your excuses that I can't and I didn't have and I didn't see and I wasn't loved and they didn't raise me. God wants to break the back of every excuse you have used all your life to be less than what he created you to be. They're excuses. They build monuments of nothing. And God sent the burning bush to tell you he already knows what your voice sounds like and what you look like and what you don't have and what you've been through. And he still wants to use you. In the spirit, I see tears rushing down somebody's face because this is a word from God to you. And he's speaking to you in a very deep way. And I understand why Moses is scared. And I understand why Moses feels limited, because to be used of God is absolutely horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. While other people are clapping, it is absolutely horrifying, because you know how little he has to work with using you. But the question is not, will God show up? God has always shown up. He's been in every burning bush you ever had in your life. The problem is, when the bush stops burning, you go back to being who you were before. And the Lord said, not this time. After the fire goes out, he wants you to be on point. After the fire goes out, he wants you to be on purpose. After the fire goes out, he wants you to be on task. After the fire goes out, he wants you to have courage where you had fear before. And if you think the bush burning was scary, let me tell you what's really scary is watching the fire go out. Because as the fire goes out, that's when the real test begins. What did you learn while you were locked down, shut in, set apart, isolated? The test doesn't happen while the bush is burning. It happens after the fire goes out. And so Moses takes his life and saddles an ass and goes to confront the thing that he's been scared of all of his life. And his ability to confront his fears is what justifies the fire. He couldn't fulfill his purpose while the fire was burning. He fulfilled his purpose after the fire goes out. As I close his message today, I want to tell somebody somewhere, the numbers are receding. The ark is diminishing. In most places, the deaths are going down. In some places, the infections have declined. I'm so glad for all the people. But what does that mean to us? When the fire goes out, the real work begins. How do we build our country and our world back better than it was before? And who do we want to build it through and with? And what have we learned at the expense of 100 million people suffering in agony? Thousands dead, suffering in every tongue, language, and kind around the earth. What have we learned after the fire goes out. We've clapped and beat pans for the nurses and nurses aides and janitors and first responders and grocery people and technicians and all of that. And we've done little wonderful things like made little smiles and hearts for them. But will we still not pay them? We've appreciated teachers who have taught through cameras and long distance and honored their flexibility and their commitment to give graduation moments to kids that got no graduations, teachers driving by in cars waving at their students. We've appreciated them, but will we now pay them? America, the real question is not can we withstand the fire? We lost some terrible losses, but I always knew that some of us would survive. The question becomes, what have we learned? What will we do? Who will we be after the fire goes out?
This is your opportunity to hear Bishop's fun hit series on family, marriage, and relationships.
And I'm only asking for one thing, both from men and women, is to give up on the possibility that everything you think is right.
Today, for your gift of any amount, you will receive Model Homes, the 3-part audio series, and a set of 4 scripture magnets to help keep the word front and center.
I don't need you to be victorious in here. I need you to be victorious out there.
In addition to the Model Home series and magnet set, for your gift of $90 or more, you will also receive the Joshua 24 wall art and pen, Promises from God for Parents, and the Model Homes 30-day devotional.
I got you.
You got me?
I got you.
Okay.
God wants to bless your home life. Don't wait. Call or go online today and get your copy of Model Homes.
Some things can only come from God. And she said, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She said, I'm a praying woman. God said, the thing that brings peace to pain is making your request made known unto God. How is your prayer life lately?
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Dungeon.